for the spring. Great are you, Lord. May we offer ourselves as praise to you this morning. May the words that I speak be your words, and open the ears of those who hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm missing a few people this morning. I know 6 or 8 or 10. But I see some new faces, so that's really nice. This, I wanted to call this Prayer for Dummies, but I didn't want y'all to take that personal, but you know those dummy books. So it's Prayer Made Simple, and we're not going to get through the entire Lord's Prayer today, so you'll have to come back next week for part two. It's a teaser. I hope you get it. They saw him every morning on his knees. Early in the morning, for the sun rose in the east. Until they met him, their only understanding of prayer had come from what they had learned and heard from the Pharisees. Long, hard, self-righteous, self-serving. But this man, he wasn't like that. This man was different. This man could spend hours in total silence. It's as if he was listening to or for someone. And when he finished with his prayer time, he would join us for our daily duties. And he always seemed energized and at peace. There seemed to be qualities about this man, Jesus. Unmistakable and unique qualities. And the longer that they spent with him, the more they believed that these qualities were rooted in his prayer time. So one day they asked him, "Will you teach us to pray?" And he did. The Gospel of Matthew records it in chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, if you want to follow along. I'm reading from the NRSV version. "Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debted against us. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." The saying of the Lord's Prayer gives us the most explicit instructions of one of the most simplest ways that we can practice being a follower of Christ. The most famous prayer in the world can be recited in less than 30 seconds. There are more than 2.1 billion Christians in the world. And I'd be almost certain to say most of them know it by memory. Most 4-year-olds with a little practice can learn to recite it. The most famous prayer in the world is simple and brief and easy to memorize. Yet the power of this prayer has been lost. When was the last time you said the Lord's Prayer? In a worship setting after the pastoral prayer? Maybe in the evening before you close your eyes, or in the morning when you wake up? Maybe the fact that it is so well known might be part of the problem. Maybe we simply recite it, and we don't think about the words as we rattle them off silently before we close our eyes. When we look at the content of the prayer, when we look at the words that we are saying, It provides a variety of spiritual guidance. Speaks to almost every personality type. For the contemplative person, searching for a deeper spiritual life, it's in there. For the ones who are passionate about social justice, it's in there. And for the ordinary person, searching for the strength to simply make it through another day, it's all in there. Packed in 30 seconds or less of the Lord's Prayer, providing us a simple yet holistic avenue to have a relationship with God, our Creator. In less than 70 words, Jesus covers the Christian message and experience. Our relationship to God, our mission from God, and our strength and our power to live on a daily basis. It can serve as a daily reminder for us the importance of confession and forgiveness, a hopeful refrain that commits to us the understanding that God holds our future, not us. There's a wonderful story about two ranchers, two of the greatest ranchers in all of Texas in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Burt Burnett was the owner and proprietor of a vast cattle empire. He owned the legendary Four Sixes Ranch. Then there was Tom Wagner, who was equally prestigious, and he owned the Wagner Ranch. And in the last part of his life, he became a successful entrepreneur in Fort Worth. These two men were friends, but they were very competitive. On any occasion, there would arise a situation that might cause a wager. And these wagers got pretty hefty at times. One day, the conversation turned to religion. And Mr. Wagner challenged Mr. Burnett, and he said, "Burke, I bet you can't even recite the Lord's Prayer." Well, a $50 bet was placed out there and accepted. The cowboy was summoned to hold the money, and Burke slowly cleared his throat and solemnly began his prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Mr. Wagner looked at the cowboy and said, "Heck, he knows it. Give him his $50. I share this story not for its humor, but it gives us a cautionary word about being careful and not being too sure of ourselves when spiritual matters are concerned. It's a reminder that none of us know as much as we think we know. The Lord's Prayer, said correctly, daily and thoughtfully, can serve to place us in a proper relationship with the first member of the Trinity, God the Father. And then it goes on to provide a remarkable, concise articulation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. When we look at the scriptural reference of the Lord's Prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew, it's clear that Jesus taught his prayer to his disciples in the context of humility. In the introduction to the prayer, Jesus draws a very clear and concise contrast between superficial and boastfully spirituality of the Pharisees and the kind of humble model he was trying to reach his followers. It would be incorrect to say that the passage prior to the Lord's Prayer that Jenna read is a prohibition against public prayer, but rather we should see it as a warning for self-serving prayer. When Jesus tells his disciples that proper prayer can be simple and concise, he is empowering the people. What a revolutionary idea it must have been for common people to hear that the words and phrases be more powerful expressions than those of Gary Lambert leaders. The Lord's Prayer has the power to transform us spiritually on a daily basis. Have you ever visited the Grand Canyon? I have not, but I would love to go there someday. I've heard so many stories of the grandeur and its beauty. But I've also heard it said, it's nothing but a hole in the ground. I can't imagine standing on the rim of the canyon and not consider the creator of wonder. God, powerful and holy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy and consecrated. So what we are saying is, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. We were telling our granddaughter last night, we were practicing the Lord's Prayer. And she says, my Father in heaven, hold me in your hand. I thought that's pretty cool. Couldn't get her to say the right words to save her life. That was her words. We are praying to a transcendent God. He dwells outside the normal experiences that we live in. He has a creative force in our world that we cannot even begin to understand, much less the paradoxes and complexities of the universe he created. But as you pray these words, take time to imagine, if you can, the wonders of our world. Things like the Grand Canyon, standing at the edge of the ocean, or just looking up at the stars at night. Try to become immersed in the image of a God who has the power to breathe breath into our lungs. It goes back to the Old Testament. Abraham and Sarah, he just told them to go. He didn't tell them where to go. He just said, go to a place I will show you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are not saying, get me out of here so I can go up there. We're saying, make me an instrument so the way people live on earth, the way I live on earth, is a reflection of the kingdom of heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. For many in our world, this takes on a literal meaning. But for the majority of us, daily bread is not our problem. We have food to eat, but sometimes the more we strive to meet our physical needs, our material needs, the more we starve ourselves spiritually. Each one of us awakens every day to challenges. What can be more important and more powerful than the promise of a God who gives us on a daily basis spiritual strength and resources to meet our needs? So when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, he is talking about so much more than spiritual food. He is speaking about about physical food. He is speaking about the spiritual dimension of life. About the quest we are on to find the meaning find love and find hope. He is addressing our greatest longings and our deepest needs. He is talking about giving us enough to be spiritually full as well as physically full on a daily basis. We'll pick up there next week, so let us pray. My Father in heaven, hold me in your hand. Out of the words, children, things become much more clearer sometimes. Father, may we think about when we pray, the words we are praying, and what it is we are really asking for. In Jesus' name.